Next, teach your children to make decisions that are based in their best interest. Or what's best for you? Not what's best for society, not what's best for the world. What is the best decision for you? Now that you've found yourself by looking inward, what is the best decision you can make to move yourself forward? Now, it's never in your best interest to die, right? And then we wonder why we're having trouble recruiting people for the military. See, we're all in favor of somebody else's son dying. But none of us are really, really whooped up in America about sending our kid to die. Particularly the mamas. Gold star mother means nothing much anymore. It's not in our best interest. So you make decisions that are in your best interest, and you tell your child, what's in your best interest? What's the desire of your heart? What's your desire of your heart? Follow it. It'll make you happy. You'll be fulfilled. By the way, teaching this to you is why I got invited to local universities to talk. Religion is a private matter. It's the other one. President says, you can do whatever you want in church. That's the freedom of religion. But you can't pray out there. Because religion's a private matter. In fact, it's been reinterpreted as freedom of religion is freedom from religion. Society must. If you really want to be the best church, the best corporation, the best school, you must be diverse. You must believe that every culture is as good as the next culture. And above all and in all, you must be tolerant. Those are the new rules, guys and gals. That's the new governing rule. That's the new morality of America and a lot of American Christianity. Over 60% of born-again Christians supported these values. And as the celebrities are pushing it and pushing it and pushing it and pushing it and pushing it, these values are even more prevalent in the millennial generation. It's all behind the self-help Christian message. Why in the world do you need a self-help section in a Christian bookstore? Isn't Christianity about I can't help myself? See, it's behind it. The reason there's very little interest in historic Christianity because the church fathers didn't talk about this stuff. But historic and ancient, the ancient path is the true path. The ancient path is the path that brings liberty. Everything else will bring tyranny. But I'm hopeful because it's going to collapse. It's going to collapse. These new values are taught in every public school in America. They're the core values of universities. They're values preached by the high priests of celebrities. They're the values that are proclaimed in almost every contemporary song you listen to. Every award show you watch, they are behind Jenner getting the Hero of the Year award. Who's standing ovations. And even those who disagree with it stood Because to go against that core value meant they could lose their job as a commentator, as a lawyer, wherever they were in the firm, because they were not tolerant. They were not celebrating diversity and multiculturalism. So what's the opposite? What do we need to find yourself? Turn to Christ. Christ defines who we are. I'm a child of God and an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. That's who I am. That's who Jesus says I am. And he's the only one that matters. Do our kids in Sunday school know who they are? Can they say, I'm a child of God and an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven? We asked our congregations, is that the answer they get? I'm a child of God, an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. Feelings, second, for Christian, feelings are real. They're real. You're hurting, you're hurting. Jesus says, mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who rejoice. They're real. Feelings are real, but they're not the truth. You don't determine truth by your feelings. In fact, your feelings can deceive you. See? If I feel like crap, doesn't mean I'm a piece of crap. You follow me? I tell them, that's not true, what you feel. How many of you have been really angry at your spouse and then find out you were wrong? Never. You know what I mean? And you're operating on that anger. And you were wrong, because that anger wasn't true. That's what we believe. Feelings are real. The cross is real. The cross hurts. It hurts. It's painful. It's humiliating. It's hard. It's difficult. But the truth is, it's the way to freedom. It's the way to resurrection. Next, loving someone doesn't mean shutting up. We're called to speak the truth in love. It's not to remain silent. And that gets some of us in a lot of trouble. We have to speak it and risk speaking it. Joy is found in giving of ourselves for the sake of others. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. True joy in marriage is found, I believe, when the husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church and gives himself sacrificially to his wife. A wife shows love and manifests love not in demanding her rights, but submitting to godly authority. That's where real joy is found. Real joy is found living your life for your children. Children are a blessing, mixed blessing sometimes, but a blessing nonetheless. They bring joy to your life, sometimes when they come and sometimes when they go. No, I'm serious. That's where joy is. Blessed is the man who sees his children's children. I think that's why grandparents smile. We innately know we're being blessed. That's our blessing. God blessed us. And we saw our children's children. And then there's another blessing, is watching them raise them. The highest goal of life is in giving glory to God. That's the highest goal of life, is to give glory to God and to praise Him at all times. Next, people can be free to believe what they want, but every belief does impact the marketplace and society. What you believe is important. Next, God has designed boundaries for sex and sexuality in order for humans to flourish and to protect women and children. So what do we say to single people? Celibacy and chastity. You're like talking deer to headlights? Say that to them. What do you mean? You're telling me I can't have sex? How am I going to have a fulfilled life? How am I going to be happy if I can't have sex? Jesus was happy. Paul was happy. You can live it out. You know, celibacy is a way of telling the world that it's not about sex. Mother Teresa had a fulfilled... How many believe Mother Teresa of Calcutta had a really fulfilled life? Amen? She never got married. John Paul II had a fulfilled life. Never got married. I'm not saying it's mandatory, but that's the way of single life. Next, Jesus is Lord of the marketplace. Amen. We're not making Jesus Lord of America. He is Lord of America. He's the Lord of all creation. And that includes America. We're just bringing everybody under his lordship and showing them how to live under the lordship of Christ. Finally, the Christian culture, this will get me thrown out of places, but I know you believe this, is not only superior to other cultures, it is the only culture. Christianity is superior. It's not a bad thing to go into a tribe of cannibals and convince them not to eat each other. That is not an equal culture to American culture. You following? There's better cultures, better ways. And they're superior because they're given by God. God shows us how to live. Now, you can talk about music and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's fine. But there are superior cultures. I think Western Christianity is superior to 7th century Islam. I think it's a superior culture. I think women having to wear burqas is not a good thing. I think women should be able to go to school, drive a car, all those things. I think American culture is superior. I think the way we could win them over a little bit is just drop Miley Cyrus videos all over the Islamic world and let their kids watch them. Okay. See, we can't keep operating as if the world around us shares our values. They don't. They don't. We can't even be sure of it in the church that they share our values. We can't be sure that when you say the word sin, they understand what it means. When pride and selfishness have become a core value. Yeah, you know, it's the people things say at funerals that wake up, you know, and you got the casket there, and there's two that always get me. They come up and the person will say, looking down at their mother laying there, and says, "She looks better than when she was alive." I go, "What a horrible thing to say." She's dead. Imagine what she looked like when she was alive. You know. The other one is such a proud person. What a horrible thing to say about somebody. A person who's had the sin of Lucifer himself. And so he's probably in heaven, right? Because he's so proud. Instead. But that's the culture we're living in. You can't assume And so counseling has replaced spiritual direction. And clergy think they're psychologists and working off that value. 99% of the clergy that I've dealt with who have fallen sexually have had sexual contact with somebody they call a client. I was just counseling them. Well, why were you doing that? Do you know what transference is? Do you know what projection is? Do you have a supervisor dealing with you and your stuff? Where's your degree? Why were you driving them home if you're their counselor? We're trained to teach people to turn to God, how to pray. I'm in favor of counselors. I refer people to counselors who are trained counselors. They know how they're trained. I was a counselor, a real one, and I had a supervisor. And I had to go once a week. I'd go over a case. I'd go over what was happening to me, what was going on in me. I had to keep notes that were evaluated. I believe in all of that. But now I'm a bishop. I'm a bishop. Proclaiming the word of God. See, what we need to teach is confession. We need to teach that guilt is a good thing. Guilt's good. You should feel guilty if you do some things. You know what I mean? That's God's way of telling you it ain't working. And how you deal with guilt is not by telling you not to feel guilty. How you deal with guilt is confession. Where you say, I did this by my own fault. Not because I had an abusive alcoholic father and a promiscuous mother. I did this because I chose to do it. My fault. Now we can deal with the healing and all that stuff, but I have sinned against God and against my neighbor. And I can't forgive myself. That's the dumbest statement I've ever heard in my entire life. You have to forgive yourself. You didn't offend yourself. That's why you can't forgive yourself, because you didn't do anything against yourself. You offended somebody else. You hurt them. You need to ask them forgiveness. You need to ask God forgiveness. And then you intend to amend your life according to God's word. It's not that guy who left the church, who came into me and confessed that he was fornicating. And I said, well, you're going to stop? He said, no. I said, I can't give you absolution. You're not asking for forgiveness. You're asking for permission. Well, I feel guilty when I do it. Good. You should feel guilty. He didn't like that answer. See? Preaching a gospel without coming to terms with it is like ordering a hot fudge gelato sundae and saying, keep the whipped cream off because it's fattening. But I'm hopeful and I'm excited because I believe the Holy Spirit's moving. I believe the Holy Spirit's moving. Is calling the church, calling his people to repent and turn to Christ. Whatever it is, clean up our act. Because we got the best message ever. We've got the greatest story. We've got the way, the truth, the life. We've got the hope. We've got the place where joy is found. We got the message of eternal life. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Are you ashamed of the gospel? I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's a power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed to stand in a marketplace. I'm not ashamed to proclaim it in front of an abortion clinic. I'm not ashamed to confess it in school. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. There's no other salvation. You know? No other name. And we got the name. We have the name that is above every name. We have the name, you understand this, we have the name that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, everyone, we have his name. We know his name. We have the name that can set a drug addict free, can set a prisoner out of prison, that can restore a family, that can heal a marriage. We've got the name. We have that name, and we cannot be silent. We cannot be silent. The church, God is in the church, and he's looking at us. He's looking at us and asking us to respond. We're going to take a break for a half hour, then lunch is going to be served. If you cannot hang out in here, you can take like 5-10 minutes out because there is a mass at 12. And so we'll be putting on Gregorian chant in a minute. And people are coming in to pray, you know, before we start church. So we'll just make this a holy spot. Hang out in the lobby, downstairs, or outside, or wherever. God bless you.